Hey guys, Zach Rapport here with an extra podcast nugget for you. Aaron Rodgers spoke with the media openly, candidly, and at length for the first time today about the so-called rift between himself and the Packers organization, and we wanted to tee up that audio for you here now. This season, you're going to get a lot more audio from this feed than just the APC podcast, including news and analysis from Justice Mosqueda and player presser audio like this. So look out for more of that in the coming weeks here. Also, myself, Alex Patakis, and Ben Foldy kicked off the 2021 season of the APC pod the other day. So if you haven't heard that yet, it's the episode just before this one in the feed. So go back and listen to that one if you are so inclined. So now, as for Aaron Rodgers, I sat down to kind of like chop up this audio and give you the highlights. But honestly, it was so thorough and open and really provided, I think, the kind of insight that we've all been clamoring for months, whether you agree with him or not, that I decided to just kind of play the whole dang thing. I mean, it's like 30 minutes long. So if you're over Rodgers, that's your prerogative. But if you want the clarity and, I don't know, you're on a long drive, washing the dishes, clipping your toenails, whatever, buckle up and dig in for the full unedited thing right now. So without further ado, let's hear from the quarterback.
What was this all about for you?
I mean, that's kind of a loaded question. I think, you know, there was a lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, a draft day thing. You know, this was started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goud, T.J. Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys, many of them who weren't offered a contract at all or were extremely lowballed or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved. And then it kind of progressed from there into a commitment for the 2021 season and beyond. That really wasn't given at any time. So for me, I had to assess the situation, not necessarily wanting to be a lame duck quarterback, especially after an MVP season, which I think you can understand. And then the other part in February was wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. You know, I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer up my services as a recruiter, you know, and I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March and the conversation changed. As I felt like if you can't commit to me past 2021, then I'm not a part of recruiting process and for agency. If I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen. Like I said, it wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, you know, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much. So when the money came at me, the other part is, the backstory to that is, you know, after the season, there was a part of me that did think that there would be conversation about an extension. You know, based on my cap number this season, next season, it seemed natural based on the way I played to at least have a conversation about it. It wasn't a conversation. Not until into May. And that to me seemed like an analogy that you guys understand. You guys have a fantastic year at work. You write some great stories. You go to your boss and say, I just had an incredible year. I think I deserve a pay raise or, you know, some security. And the boss says, let's just see how it goes. A couple months down the line, you get another job opportunity. You go back to your boss and say, hey, I got this amazing job opportunity. And say, whoa, no, we love you. We do want you to stick around. We do care about you. Just have the same feeling, you know. And so, you know, I said it wasn't about the money, and the way that felt, you know, kind of just doubled down on that. Nothing really changed throughout the summer. There were some developments in the last week or so, but, you know, I was really working on myself and my own mental state throughout the summer and at various points deciding if I wanted to even keep playing. But, you know, the fire still burns, and I wanted to be on a football team, and we got some things figured out in the last few days, and I'm here.
Does the Randall Cobb move, is that, not that's the answer, but is it showing that there's a step in the right direction from the organization's part to listen to you and respect your thoughts on personnel?
Well, look, I'm really excited Randall's coming back. He's obviously a dear friend and a guy I still believe in that can really play. He falls into that category that I mentioned earlier of guys who left here, who are high-character guys. It's the desire that I've talked about before to finish as a Packer that's always been really important to me. And it's important to those guys as well. The guys I mentioned, I talked to the majority of them this offseason because I wanted to hear their experience and how they felt leaving the team and the way it went down. So I had all the information. And I think there's a sadness underneath it all. Obviously, there's a sadness when your career ends, but a sadness that things went down the way they went down for a team that they cared about and loved and put their bodies on the line for so many years. So to get Randall back is really special. It's something that I talked about back in February, wanting to bring in a true slot receiver, which I thought would make our offense more dynamic, and I think Randall's a dynamic player. He has been when he's been healthy.
Aaron, was there a point over the last few months when you seriously considered retirement that and at what point did you change your mind and decide to actually come back?
Yeah, that was definitely something I thought about. I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the off-season away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning. And it was a lot of growth in that process. I continued to find joy and happiness in things off the field. However, there's still a big competitive hole in my body that I need to fill. And as I got back into my workouts, I just realized that I know I can still play and I want to still play. And as long as I feel like I can give 100% to the team, then I should still play.
Do you expect to be a Packer next year? What would it take for you to be one next year?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I think things are in that direction haven't really changed. At all. I think I'm just going to focus on this year. There's a lot of moving pieces besides myself, expiring contracts for a number of guys. So there's going to be a lot of tough decisions at the end of the year. I'm just going to enjoy this year and then revisit that conversation at the end of the season.
Aaron, you've said many times and you reiterated it's always been your goal to finish your career as a Packer. Do you hope that this progresses to a point where you feel all right with that moving forward? You said focus on this year, but do you still stand by what you said year after year that you want to finish your career?
I did, but as you recall, I said last year that there's some things that might be out of my hands at this point. And, you know, based on them drafting my replacement, J-Lo last year, I think that kind of put things in motion. Based on the way the season went last year, there was nothing in last season that made me confident that I'd be back after 21 and maybe even not after 2020. Thought we could progress some of those conversations with maybe a greater commitment during the offseason. Like I said, that didn't happen. But that's why I just have to focus on this season. And I love this team. I love the fans, and the opportunity to play on Lambeau Field has been a dream come true. To be in my 17th season is really special. I don't take that for granted. I'm not a victim here at all. I just want to reiterate that. Like, I've been paid a ton of money by this organization. I'm so thankful to be a starter here for my 14th season. Not many guys have the opportunity to do that. So I'm not, I don't feel like anything's been done to me. It's a business. You know, it's an incredible opportunity to play this game. It's a tough business too, though. And this is part of it. So I totally get that point. And that's not lost on me. That's why I'm just going to enjoy this season like I did last year, have the right perspective, and then make decisions at the end of the season.
Hey, Aaron, help me with the recall on this. Help me with the recall on this. We came in here, I think it was 2018. Kirk Cousins has got his deal, and Matthew got his deal. And so these guys were asking, hey, and he's, it's going to come. I'm not concerned about the money. But I thought I remember you saying, I'm looking for a partnership. Is that accurate? Because it wasn't long after you got the deal. And then 6 months later on a Monday, they called you on a golf course and said, it's Matt LaFleur, why don't you talk? Is that the kind of thing you were talking about that did fade away after that?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call that a partnership, that part of it. I mean, I wasn't involved in those conversations at all. I had talked to Matt after the deal had already been in place to hire him as a coach. So I wasn't part of that conversation. Let's just make that completely clear. I do love Matt, and we've had a blast together, and I'm glad he's here. But it's decisions like that that have happened over and over and over again that make me realize that the organization looks at me and my job is just to play. In my opinion, based on what I've accomplished in this league, the way I care about my teammates, the way I show up in the locker room, the way I lead, the way I conduct myself in the community, you should tie myself to a little bit more input. The rules, are the same for most people, but every now and then there's some outliers, guys who've been in an organization for 17 years and won a few MVPs, where they can be in conversations at a different higher level. I'm not asking for anything that other great quarterbacks across the last few decades have not gotten, the opportunity to just be in conversation. So if you're gonna cut a guy who, based on a meritocracy, was our second best receiver in training camp last year for the majority of camp, maybe run it by me. See what I feel. I might be able to change your mind. But at least to be in a conversation makes you feel like you're important, you're respected. And that's what I tried to convey in February and for the first couple months. But no, it hasn't been that. That's just the way they do it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but objectively, there's been a lot of success here over the last 30 years. I just wanted to be a little bit more involved, and I understand that that's not the way it went.
So, Aaron, did you not get any of those? I mean, all these things are reasonable things to want to be. Any of these things, did they give you anything or say anything like, yeah, we're going to do this, or is it just the same as it always was?
I'm not sure, Rob, at this point. I can only say one of the things was to be involved in free agency. because I mean, just talk to Preston Smith, you know, why he came here and why he actually took a pay cut to re-sign. You know, he knows that we got an opportunity to win a championship when I'm playing. And it's a sentiment that's echoed by other players across the league who hit me up that I'm friends with. They want to come or get traded or, you know, come to Green Bay. They want to be a part of an opportunity to win a championship. And that's why I just wanted to make myself available, you know, to have those conversations, to be maybe something that tips it over the edge if you're trying to sign a specific guy. So that wasn't a part of March at all.
If they had shown security or, you know, given you some assurances ahead that you would be here for several years, how would they do that financially given their salary cap situation and not being in a situation where when you retire they would be $70 million yeah. under the cap? How would you have done that?
Yeah, it's a good question, Spoon. I think there's ways of doing that, you know, through signing bonuses and stuff that can lessen the load for sure. But there wasn't a commitment past 2021. You know, there was conversation about that. I know you guys were all talking about you know, moving salary around through a restructure to open up some cap space for sure. Obviously, with the salary cap going down from the 190s to 182, I think everybody's contract who had a contract basically got restructured in some way. It was more just the approach. To not mention anything past 2021 made me feel like that I wasn't in the future plans, which again, I get it, it's a business, you know, and I'm not a victim here. I've made a ton of money here and I've been really fortunate to play a long time and to play here. At the same time, I'm still competitive and I still feel like I can play. I proved it last year. So I felt like making a commitment past 2021 season was not a big deal. And there are ways to do that. That wasn't necessarily accomplished, and so that's why we're here.
Aaron, you said back in March that the team, you basically came to a conclusion that, okay, if you're not going to commit to me beyond this season, like, let's just move on now. The Packers were very steadfast, both publicly and privately to other teams. We're not trading him. Do you want to be here right now?
I do. I love my teammates. I love the city. I love my coaches. You know, it is a lot of fun to be back here. And like I said, I'm competitive. And I realize the type of team that's in place here. It's a team that has a lot of talent on it. It's been close the last couple of years. So I'm definitely excited about this season. I've had a lot of great conversations over, I'd say, the last 2 weeks with various teammates, past and present. And it's definitely refueled the fire to go out and lead and perform at my best. I felt really good today after a long hiatus, just being back out there and feeling like the rhythm and the timing and the accuracy was where I wanted to be. So I feel really good about being back. It's fun to see a lot of guys to walk in the locker room. You know, it's strange after so many months, but it's fun to see the guys, see the old guys, the trainers, equipment staff, Andy Gruber. I just gave him a hug. I hadn't seen him. He wasn't here all last year, so. There's a lot of fun things about being back, and I understand the opportunity that's here.
Aaron, how would you characterize your relationship with Ryan Gutekunst, where that is today, and was there ever a point this offseason where you asked for his removal from the show?
No, and I would say it's professional at this point.
Eric, you mentioned here today you strongly considered retirement this. Sorry. You considered retirement this offseason. For that to change in the last week. What transpired, and is it as simple as doing something, going out and getting Randall Cobb to prove that it's not mere words to get you back in the building?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely was important to me. But again, I think it was with conversations with some former teammates that I had. You know, a lot of those guys I mentioned are retired, and talking to them about their retired life and picking their brains about what it looks like was good for me. I also wanted to see how my body responded after some of the intense training over the last couple of months, and I felt really good.
Anything you talked about that kind of refueled your fire, those conversations, anything that stood out, anything else that anyone shared?
No, I'm not going to share that.
Aaron, there's been a lot here to digest, but one thing I'm not clear on, did you get the right to basically decide where you're going to play next year if you choose to play?
No, that's not what I've been told to understand, no.
Thank you.
Aaron, with all of these different reports that are coming out this offseason, some of the people speaking before you, what would you say is the biggest misconception about this entire process?
That the media loves to make stories when there's not enough content to put out there. And look, I realize, you know, there were times I could have said something, but I firmly believe that there is wisdom in silence. And also, I love this city, this organization, and I didn't want to get into a pissing match with a team that's employed me for 16 years, paid me a lot of money. I felt like handling things behind closed doors was the right way to do it. There were some leaks for sure. I can promise you, I didn't have a part in any of those. My representation has assured me the same thing. I don't know what benefit would be given to me by releasing any details about a restructured contract for me, about leaking stuff on draft day. I don't understand the motivation behind that, but look, I believe that the right way to do it was to have conversations with those people, both in person, Zoom, on the phone, behind closed doors, as they say, and didn't want to get into an argument in the public with a team that I really care about.
Aaron, you mentioned this offseason was different. Just how different was it not being at OTAs for the first time in 16 seasons? How did that benefit you?
How did that what?
Benefit you.
Shoot, it was great. Look, like I said, I think it's important that we work on our mental state. And as you've seen with Simone Biles, I think there needs to be more conversation around that. We, as athletes, are often put on a pedestal that we're not, that we're beyond any, mental hindrances or clutter. And the only time that mental health often is talked about is when it's under the conversation of depression. I didn't have any depression, but I have a ton of respect for people who speak out in those situations. For me, it was just about clearing any of the clutter. And that's what I tried to do this offseason by adjusting some habits and spending time with my loved ones. Traveling as safely and as often as I possibly could, and then making sure I was ready to go if I came back.
Why do you want to be involved
in here, and then we're going to go to Zoom?
Why do you want to be involved in some of these personnel decisions? On some of these, you would have been wrong. I think the guys didn't have great years when they left here, or they got a lot of money and it ended up being cap hits. You know, if the Packers didn't decide to move on from Favre, you wouldn't have been here either, or you might not be staying where you are here. Why do you want to get involved in all that?
Well, I mean, I respect the question, Spoon, and I think there's a lot of hypotheticals based on different things. I understand that I'm here because Ted Thompson took a shot on me, but also can't compare the two situations when you look at the last years of Favre's career here based, comparing to mine, especially leading up to 2005, it was a different situation. When it comes to personnel stuff, it's not all personnel stuff that I'm talking about. I just want to be involved in conversations that affect my ability to do my job, and it's not all personnel. But I think I have a unique perspective being in a locker room and having been the starter here for 13 years and being here for 16 years. There's not many people who've been in a position of influence longer than I have in this building. So it gives me a unique perspective to shed light on how things work together. One of the most important things is chemistry and cohesion in an organization, and I think I can offer an interesting perspective. It's not where I need to have final say on anything. I never asked for that. I just want to be in a conversation. I'm interested in how they look at certain players, and if they value character, if they value chemistry, if they value what they bring to the locker room. And I think, yeah, some of those guys might not have had a great seasons other places, but it's different when a Jordy Nelson has got me thrown in the ball. It's different when Randall Cobb's got me thrown in the ball. It's maybe a different motivation when some of these guys go elsewhere. You know, it is different to move to a new team. And, yeah, some of those decisions would have been different. But maybe bringing back a JP for, $3 million in a one-year deal when he really desperately wanted to retire as a Packer might have been a good thing to do. Maybe letting Jordy play another season here. You know, who knows what would have happened, him mentoring Tay and allowing him to take the mantle of the number one receiver, and how the locker room could see that humility and be inspired by it. I think that's often not given enough credence, is how important that is. You know, veterans leading by example, by their attitude, how they conduct themselves, and how they show the younger guys how to be a professional. And to me, that's worth something. Might not be worth $9 million a year, which Jordy was scheduled to make that season, but he was willing to take a pay cut way down. And I think it would have been worth it to keep guys like that. Or Charles Woodson, you know, Charles wanted to take a pay cut as well, to stick around. And he obviously still played a high level when he left. He made a Pro Bowl in Oakland. And not to mention, 70% Charles Woodson is, you know, an incredible player for us. Just what he brings from a leadership standpoint, from a professionalism, toughness, you know, being able to be a part of conversations like that, I feel like I have a unique perspective.
So, Aaron, what do you hope changes out of all this, whether it is cultural within the organization, letting players know how they should be treated? Do you hope to inflict some sort of change or difference that's bigger than you?
I mean, I wouldn't say inflict. I don't know if that's the right word I want to use. Inspire. Like I said to Spoon, you know, I do have a unique perspective on things, and I've been around a long time. And as I've talked to some other older players around the league, I think this is how it goes. You know, you get a little bit older, you see some of the dysfunction in organizations, and you either move on or try and help foster some change. And that's all I wanted to do, because I love this organization, and I love being a Packer, and I've enjoyed my time here. But I can be used as a pseudo consultant because I know this place. I know this building. I know the people that work here. I know what helps it go. And when you're a quarterback, you hear a lot of, you know, you hear it from what's going on around the building. And it gives you the ability to see kind of things as they are, and to help foster a culture of inclusion and cohesion and connectedness that helps you win. Because, as I said, it's the people that win championships. It's the coaches, it's the players that win championships. And the organization, everybody in the organization benefits from that. And we all win together. But it's the people to get it done. And I just want to be a part of people decisions.
So if you can inspire that change in the culture, do you see a path where you can still finish your career playing only for the Packers? And if you can see that change, do you want to still play your entire career if you can see that change?
Yeah, that's a tough question to ask, to answer. It's a good question. I'm definitely not closing the door on anything. I'm always optimistic in the ability to change. I would never want anybody to give up on me. And I feel like I've made a lot of changes over the years to try and improve myself, both as a person, as a teammate, as a player. And I'm always going to be optimistic in change being possible. But, you know, Darren Perry said a quote one time, which has always stuck with me, and he said, you can't motivate people, but you can inspire people. And true motivation ultimately comes from within. So people have to be willing to make those changes.
Aaron, going from considering retirement to being all in for a season seems like a big step.
I was going to say,
am I overstating that, or are you making it sound easy? Is it possible to make it sound?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to overblow it. I definitely took my mind to that scenario and sat with those feelings and what it would feel like and what that would look like. All the while working out. I mean, as you saw on, Dave's Instagram, like I was, you know, obviously still working out and at Proactive and getting ready to play. But there were things I needed to do and conversations I needed to have to put myself in the right headspace to be able to come back here and to be 100% in, which my teammates, the organization expects, and I expected myself. And I wouldn't be here if I wasn't 100% all in.
All right, we're going to have to take a couple from Zoom to finish this up. Go ahead, Sarah.
We'll start Timmy and Warren.
Hey, Aaron. You touched on this today, and you've spoken very eloquently on this in the past. With all that's gone and said and done to this point, as we sit here in late July 2021, what does it mean to you to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers?
Well, Tim, it's still an honor. It's still something I'm very proud of. You know, I did see something about Farvey and Bart playing 16 here, and this is obviously number 17, so there's something special about that. I've been here a long time, seeing a lot of change in personnel and people and the building and the fields and the Hall of Fame and pro shop and cafeteria twice, weight room. You know, it's been fun to be a part of the change. A lot of times, like at Cal, you move on and then everything gets better. It's been fun to see the facilities and everything get better and be able to be the quarterback here and see the south and north end zones, the way they got built up and adding 8,000 fans to Lambeau. It's been fun to be a part of all the growth and those things. This has always been a special thing for me to be the quarterback here, and I'm really thankful to be back here for a 14th season as a starter.
Chris Roth.
Hey, Aaron, there's going to be this perception now that every time a roster decision is made, how much input or non-input did you have? How much responsibility is on you to kind of keep that distraction to a minimum so that it doesn't fester all season long and maybe distract this team from its goal?
Chris, I don't see that as a distraction because I don't expect to be a part of those discussions. So I'm happy that Randall Cobb is here, and that's definitely something that I was hoping would happen, but I don't see that being a distraction.
And last one for Zoom, Lance Allen.
Hey, Aaron, you mentioned the key word, chemistry, and you know as well as anybody that, you know, you got a bond with the guys in the locker room and some call football the ultimate team game. How do you bond with guys? I know a lot of guys have your back, but how do you prevent it from being an us versus them mentality in the front office and just go about your business and accomplish your goal?
Well, I think there's, as I've seen over the last 16 years, there's different things that motivate guys. I think expiring contracts is definitely one of them. I think you've seen it many, many times over the years. Guys coming into a contract year and they show up a little bit different, body a little bit different, focus a little bit different. So I'm not worried about those guys, you know, who have contracts that run out. You know, guys like MBS and obviously Devontae and Bobby Tonyan and, you know, some of those guys who have in the last year of their deal. I know they'll be motivated. It's about the staff and the players getting ready to you know, to be ready for a season here, I think in 47 days or so, playing a game. So this is what training camp's all about, and we'll get after it the best we can.
All right, guys, there you have it, straight from the QB's mouth. If you made it through the whole thing, welcome to the other side. You get a gold star. Or something, I don't know. Anyway, thanks for listening, thanks for downloading. As training camp gets underway, keep it dialed in here to the podcast feed for more stuff from me, Alex, Justice, Tex, the whole crew, and of course, keep that tab open on your browser, acmepackingcompany.com, for all of the latest. So until next time, thanks again, guys. Go Pack Go, and keep your stick on the ice.